unheardnerd.com.
If you have money, you can buy anything.
Welcome to part two of an interview with Word Burglar. Thanks for tuning in last week. Be sure to check us out at theunheardnerd.com, on Twitter at theunheardnerd, facebook.com/theunheardnerd, and on Gmail at theunheardnerd@gmail.com. This is Word Burglar part two.
It's more or less a word bird up in the spot with the speakers turned on and the mics are hot. We got people in the place who came to rock. And yo, let your bird. It's the time on your watch. 5 o'clock. We all up in the spot with the speakers turned on and the mics are hot. We got people in the place who came to rock. Yo, bird. Yo, Les, what's the time on your watch?
Rhyme o'clock. We melt minds like Spock. Bubbling like Coronas when a lime is dropped. In the wild making noise like when pines get chopped. Moving heads like ladies whose behinds are hot. Design to rock. Co-sign with props. Send an affidavit stating we define the spot. So why not? Bring on the next hype bringer. We take him out the ring like your ex-wife's finger.
Bigger pain in the ass than having bet books. I'm itching to get in the track so cats forget some. Lukewarm radio pap that's taking your cap for thinking as a flattened Stetson. Shallow. Proceed with showtime at the gallows. To gallow. You roast like Pink or Clark battles. Metallo. Don't keep your comics round me. True reader for real. Ask Word Burgie.
It's more or less a word bird up in the spot with the speakers turned on and the mics are hot. We got people in the place who came to rock. And yo, let your bird. What's the time on your watch? 5 o'clock. We all up in the spot with the speakers turned on and the mics are hot. We got people in the place who came to rock. Yo, bird. Yo, Les, what's the time on your watch?
5 o'clock. Greenwich Mean, top-notch digital. Wait, kids, talks, weak, slop, songs, pitiful. Gag me with spoon, barf, not minimal. Claggy and 6-2, all y'all syllables. Stay simple for the safest sibilant syllabus. For the simian, serious, motherfucker, I rhyme. Keep it bumping like a big building is building it. With the burg and the business, you bridesmaids aren't brides. We're married to the flow.
Halifax to Orlando, run the millennium like Han Orlando.
Is that word, bro?
Yeah, you know it, fam. And I'm down with Sharon like Lois and Graham. Goddamn! Spread new dope rhymes all over the streets like Ed 209. Then we take it national like Peter Mansbridge and eat all the food in your grand fridge.
Not now, but right now. Checking your watch. Never ask me what time it is.
When is it?
Not now, but right now.
Takes more than rhymes to rock.
When is it?
Not now, but right now.
Checking your watch.
Never ask me what time it is.
When is it?
Not now, but right now.
Takes more than rhymes to rock. This
time. See a horse for the trouble. She's for the time.
Hurting stress, cause Berg and Les will make your burden less.
For sure, with fresh kills, it's lightning unbroken. Beat time on time like the son of Odin.
The super villains, forget Loki and Red Skull. We leave you more blue than a depressed Brett Hull.
Hold breach to your ego, see no evil. Peanuts like bald people feeding beagles.
You'll be needing needles for your DJ to scratch this.
Never sell out,
but we're always on the backlist.
Gotta re-up
before we get torrented.
Haters gonna hate,
but it's really unwarranted.
Yo, you want some more of this?
Yeah.
Good,
we knew there was a reason we came up to your hood
to rock it nonstop.
Keep it hot on stage and
we do it big time like the clock on play.
It's more or less a word bird up in the spot with the speakers turned on and the mics are hot. We got people in the place who came to rock. And yo, let your bird. What's the time on your watch? 5 o'clock. We all up in the spot with the speakers turned on and the mics are hot. We got people in the place who came to rock. Yo, bird. Yo, Les, what's the time on your watch?
When is it?
Not now, but right now.
Checking your watch.
Never ask me what time it is.
When is it?
Not now, but right now.
Takes more than rhymes to rock this.
And then very different, but equally good, is Drawings with Words, the video for that. I've said that right, haven't I? Drawings with Words, is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it. That's what comics are.
There we are. And
Drawings with Words.
Where did you film that? That was at a convention somewhere.
Yeah, that was at Fan Expo Toronto. And that was, we shot that in summer 2012. Yeah, no, 2013. Is that right? No, summer 2012. We shot that in Toronto.
And did you have to get permits to film there, or did you just go out with cameras and just kind of go with it?
Well, we just kind of went out and shot. You know, we asked everyone. We told them what was going on. We said, "You want to be in the new Word Burglar video?" And they were like, "Fucking right!" So So they got in the video, and everyone at the convention was great. And, you know, Dan Jardine shot that. He was the director. He's a buddy of mine, another Halifax guy, great artist in his own right. He's a photographer, videographer. He plays music. He's just a multi-talented fella. Just a wonderful gentleman. Just a great man. A wonderful superman. And the funny thing was, I'll tell you a funny story about that. He had never been to a comic book convention. And so we had been planning it out, you know, a couple weeks leading up to it and getting everything in line. You know, I had to dig out all my comics to make sure I had everything to reference in the song. And I remember him asking me, he's like, okay, but what are we going to shoot there? And I said, man, don't worry. You're not going to know what not to shoot. And he was like, I don't know. Like, he just didn't understand. He'd never been to a Comic-Con. And then as soon as we got there, and we got in there early, I think we showed up there about 7 in the morning, and the con doors opened at 9, and it was just, you know, he didn't turn off his camera, I think, for 24 hours. Just constantly filming every crazy costume. There's a lot of great footage that didn't make it into the video because, you know, we only had 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of fun. So, but Dan, I think he fully enjoyed his experience.
I mean, it must have taken you some time just to dig out all the comics that you reference in the song and get them, you know, to match up with the song. I mean, you reference an awful lot in the song.
Well, you know, I rap about what I know, so those were my comics, so, you know, I know what I'm talking about. But yeah, you're right. I've got like 20 different boxes of comics I had to dig through.
Yeah. We'll come back to comics after we finish up the videos, because I think we can talk a bit about those. But next up was the video for, my favorite song from the album, Croque Monsieur. And not at all what I was expecting from the video. When I heard the video was coming, I certainly didn't expect it to be sort of a cop parody of like a 70s or 80s cop show. I mean, how did you come up with that concept for the video?
Well, we just wanted to throw you a curveball. We heard what you wanted, and we said, no, we're going to give him something else.
Well, I'm glad you're listening, at least.
You know, that was just, it was a concept we batted around, and it was something that we could pull off. And that might have been one of the smallest budgets I've ever worked with for a video. So we were able to really, and that we shot for 4 days. And again, the Jason Lavangi again and Mark Tetro, the guys who worked on Rhyme O'Clock, same team. Yeah. And yeah, we just, you know, I thought the concept suited the beat and the style. I mean, it's basically, you know, a very upbeat, boom bappy, you know, braggadocio kind of track and just a lot of crazy rhymes. Yeah. And with the Croque Monsieur, we just kind of were throwing out all these ideas, and it all came together as this, the cool little action homage that it became. An homage with fromage, if you will.
I will. What inspired you to write a song about something that's not ham and cheese?
Ah, where does it start?
I would say it could be a long, winding story, or it could just be,
well,
why
I don't,
not?
I think there's a bunch of different ways that came about. I don't know if the expression translates to you or not, but do you know the expression, like, he's a ham? You know, like, I've got a cheesy sense of humor, okay?
Gotcha.
And people say, oh, I've always been kind of a ham, right? You know, I love my puns and just silly jokes, and you know, I like to laugh. I like to laugh, Will. And I was always like, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm a ham, you know, cheesy, you know, people, you know, I've been accused of being cheesy before. And and I was like, well, yeah, you know, okay, I'm kind of a ham, I'm kind of cheesy for sure. I have, you know, I accept that and I own that and I'm proud of it. But, you know, I'm next level ham and cheese. Fuck this here, man. I ain't a fucking ham and cheese. That's just a fucking, you know. It's anybody can be ham and cheese, man. Croque Monsieur is a whole other level, man. And It's, you know, I'm delicious. I'm extra fat.
Oh my God.
I'm extra cheese, man. I'm extra ham. So that, I think, is that's kind of my thinking on I where the original idea kind of came from. Plus, it's fun to say a croque monsieur, you know. If you don't know what it is, I mean, if I owned stock in croque monsieurs, I'd be, you know, I'd be making some money right now, I think, because people are tweeting me pictures every time they eat a croque monsieur now. And
I've seen that, yeah.
I'm getting emails from my buddy who was in Japan, and he's like, they have croque monsieurs here. It's crazy.
Well, it's a pair of words that most Brits only ever learn when they go skiing or snowboarding, because you go over to the Alps in France generally, and they're readily available on the slopes. But yeah, you
really?
Got yeah.
Well, it also, the direct translation is crunchy mister, which also works because that beat is just so crunchy. You know, it's like fucking crunchy.
Yeah, it works,
Mr. Crunchy.
It works on so many different layers and levels.
Absolutely, man. That's what I'm trying to do here.
I've got a whole new appreciation for that song.
There you go, man. It's layers, man. It's all about the layers.
I'm going to wake up early in the morning and wake my whole family up with that song, I think.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Well, they might not appreciate it.
TheUnheardNerd.com.
Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without the word.
A burglar. Cause y'all starving, I'm living extra large.
Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without
the
beat. Always bringing you hot like shit. Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without
the beat. We'll bust wrecking shot when it comes.
Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without
the beat. Start the jam, I'm bringing words together like an ampersand.
Word bird.
About to make your goddamn pampers damn. Slamming amps off the ramp, getting a tam-tam. Classier than your tramp stamp and the Trans Am. Call Bram Van, this shit is 3000, a habitat for humanity.
Free housing,
help people move. Thanks for giving a listening everywhere you go. Like pigeons at Islington, different. Never try to play shock rappers like seeing Vinnie Paz at a pride parade. My time of day is every time a rhyme is sprayed. And I'm good without the shine, like a diamond in the shade. Whether your fave Slaughterhouse is Ace or Kurt Vonnegut, if you make a mixtape, make sure you got a Berg song on it. A hominid who likes his PlayStation modded it. Style self-taught, and I let myself audit it.
Aw, shit, this ain't a ham and cheese, it's croque monsieur. Promoting dope coast to coast like a pot sticker. How can I not give her? What am I, chopped liver? Don't think it's hot, I don't buy it like a shoplifter. Lyrical croque monsieur, making your plot thicker. Promoting dope coast to coast like a pot sticker. How can I not give her? What am I, chopped liver? Don't think it's hot, I don't buy it like a shoplifter.
Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without
the word.
A burglar.
And I keep warming up like someone had just bought me a sweater. Cause good things take time like a watch repossessor. Never leave you hanging, count on your birdie. For more lines than a sale at Burberry. Subverting, can I get a five like Laurier? Cause being boring is so cliche, I'll behave. I stay on the mound like Halliday. And when I see an alien, I say Salome. From salad days to all you can eat luncheons, get attention like F-bombs at family functions. Curmudgeons wondering, what the hell is he doing? Who's your target demographic? Humans. Whether you're consuming macaroons out in Saskatoon or back in Halley cracking brews in the afternoon, if someone says that they're better than you, they're just a fraud like a vegan wearing leather at a zoo.
Aw, shit, this ain't a ham and cheese, it's croque monsieur. Promoting dope coast to coast like a pot sticker. How can I not give her? What am I, chopped liver? Don't think it's hot, I don't buy it like a shoplifter. Lyrical croque monsieur, making your plot thicker. Promoting dope coast to coast like a pot sticker. How can I not give her? What am I, chopped liver? Don't think it's hot, I don't buy it like a shoplifter.
Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without
the word. A burglar.
Cause y'all starving, I'm living extra large.
Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without
the beat.
Always bringing you hot shit. Like my sandwich ain't a sandwich without
the beat. We'll bust the
We referenced the next video, which was Rap Viper. I just mentioned my family. I should tell you a little story that touched me at the time. It was just after Third Burglar had come out, and I'd been playing it all the time and singing it. You know, even when it wasn't on, because I constantly have music in my head. It's a constant jukebox of it. Could be anything in my head at any time, but you know, that album was in my head at the time, and I kept singing a certain song off of the album, which was Yoba Sayo. And I came home one day with my kids. We'd been out, and the front door was locked up, and I was like, oh, my wife must be out. So as I came in the front door, I unlocked the door and I called out, is anyone there? My oldest daughter, she was about five at the time, she started singing, yo, yo, Yoba Sayo, is anybody out there?
And that's amazing, man.
So
amazing.
Yeah, reaching the kids as well. Okay, so we've done the music, we've done the videos, and I did get one question that you may have seen on the Twitters anyway, from an avid listener of our podcast. He goes by the two names, or three names actually. His real name, which I think is Jeff Wright or something. MC Hunter is another name he's got, or we just call him Jeffy Jeff. Which kind of fits him a little bit with your old rap persona. but he wants to know, are there any... let me find his tweet. There we go, Jeffrey Wright. Is there anybody surprising that Word Burglar would like to collab with? And he's put, for example, Gwar, Juicy J, or George Strait. Anybody left field, I think, is what he's getting at.
Left field.
What would be a fantasy collaboration?
Yeah, I mean, well, George Strait's Country and Juicy J's ICP.
Mm-hmm.
And who's the first one?
It was Gwar.
Gwar, yeah, heavy metal. Yeah. You know, I'm always up. My take on collabs has always been, you know, if it makes sense, let's do it. You know, if the concept makes sense, if we can do it together, you know, if we have a good idea, let's do it. In terms of guys from left field, I mean, I listen to all music, and, you know, I'd love to do a song with the Strokes. That would be awesome. I actually really like the Strokes, but I don't know how that would work together. And, do you know you must know the Strokes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And there's a lot of Canadian bands I really like. I'm actually a big Joel Plaskett fan. He's from Halifax, kind of a folky Canadian. But he's done a rap song already with someone else.
Okay.
I don't know. You know, I'd do one with Barry Manilow just to make my mom happy. My mom's a huge Barry Manilow fan, so if I could do a song with him just for her, I think that would be awesome.
There we go, internet.
So there you go, Barry Manilow. That's my answer.
make it happen, Jeff.
Yeah, word up, Jeff.
Okay, let's get on to the juicy topic then. Let's talk comics. You're a bit of a fan, I think.
Fair to say. I have a problem. I have an addiction. Lifetime, unable to shake it. But I credit my comic collecting habit with me not smoking cigarettes. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Which came first, the music or comics?
Well, I always loved music, but my earliest... I was reading Spider-Man comics probably when I was about 5 years old. I remember being in like primary and having a Spider-Man comic. So I was reading comics. I learned how to read on comic books. And my parents used to just keep me quiet by throwing comic books at me when we'd be at the gas station or something and we'd be driving around.
Interestingly, you're not the first guest that said that.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We had a guy called Mike Petchy on the show. He made a world exclusive, I might add. He made a fan film called The Dead Can't Be Distracted, which was a Punisher fan film. And Marvel, having let the Thomas Jane one come out, Dirty Laundry, and another one since then, closed his film down completely. But he said exactly the same thing. He wasn't a good reader at school. He had no inclination to read. So his mum, in desperation, came home one day and threw a Spider-Man comic at him and said, "Look at that!" And that's how he learned to read from comics. So yeah, interesting that you had a similar experience.
Amazing. And you know, comics, there's some comics that are incredibly well written. I mean, it's like anything. And I you know, just being serious, I mean, I think that's a great way to get people to read, especially young kids who may not be interested otherwise, right? And there's a lot of initiative now you see with a lot of younger reader comics and stuff like that. But I think that's, it's a great way to get people to read and, you know, spark their imaginations and stuff. And yeah, it's been, you know, it's been a lifelong passion for sure. I worked at a comic book store. I got my first job at a comic book store. I think I was 15. I didn't have my driver's license yet. Mm-hmm. And I worked at Strange Adventures in Halifax. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I got a job at Silver Snail in Toronto. And yeah.
And so I'm
still in touch with both those guys constantly.
So. Yeah. So the references from the song coming through in the story there, from Strange Adventures to the Silver Snail, you reference that in the song?
Those are my people for sure, man.
And so if you had to recommend a classic comic run or a graphic novel, what would you recommend?
Oh, where do I start? Is this for you or for anyone? I mean,
I'd say for anyone, because it would be a bit greedy of me to say me.
Yeah. Wow. If you could only read one, I mean, in terms of comics coming out right now.
Yeah.
For new stuff, I really like Nowhere Men, which is a brilliant series. It's a science-based series where scientists are treated like rock and roll stars. So
who's publishing that?
Image. And volume one came out of the trade paperback. I really, really enjoy that series right now. Mm-hmm. There's another one that's just started from Vertigo called Hinterkind, mm-hmm. which is, the easiest way to describe it is Walking Dead with Lord of the Rings people.
Okay.
The end of the world kind of happens, and instead of zombies, it's all these sort of magical fairy folk that start showing up. And it sounds dumb, but it's really, really good. So there's been about 4 or 5 issues of that right now that I really like. And, you know, for superhero stuff, Kirkman's Invincible, I think right now is probably one of the better superhero books coming out. And I like Saga a lot by Brian Vaughn. If mm-hmm. you haven't read that, that's a good series. And I mean, I could go on and on and on. I mean, I love Nth Man. You know, when I was a kid, that was, you know, one of my favorite comics.
How big is your pull list each week?
Minimum 5 comics, usually about a dozen at least.
Wow.
I mean, I'm even just on my floor right now, I've got Astro City, Avengers World, G.I. Joe Special Missions, Hinterkind, Superior Spider-Man, Invincible Universe, Transformers Generation 1, Manhattan Projects, that book is really, really good. Revival, Black Science, this book is awesome. Check that one out from Image. Manifest Destiny, shout out my buddy Dave Hallett, put me onto that. Pretty Deadly, Daymen. Dead Body Road, I got here. That's pretty good. Midas Flesh. Oh, Letter 44. That's another really good one right now. And that is, in a nutshell, Obama. Think of Obama taking over from George W. Bush.
Right.
So the day that Obama starts, he gets a letter. And apparently there's a tradition in America where the former president writes a letter to the new president.
Yeah.
So think of George W. Bush writing a letter to Obama. And on Obama's first day in office, he's sitting at the end of the day, he opens this letter from the previous president. And the president is saying, yada, yada, yada. You know, I know we don't agree on a lot of things. I know a lot of people have problems with me. And I know everyone is mad at me about this whole weapons of mass destruction thing and the searching, you know, starting this war and doing all this stuff and being accused of all these things. But I had a good reason. And the reason is 3 years ago, we discovered an alien species mining on the outskirts of the solar system. And we don't know what they're doing, but we do know that no one on Earth is prepared to fight these things. So I had to start preparing and getting our troops ready in real war situations so that if we're going to fight aliens, we're going to be, you know, we're going to have a chance. Wow. And Obama's like, this is crazy. And it's not Obama. They use different names, but for all intents and purposes, that's who it is.
Sure.
And so So Obama's like, you're crazy. This is ridiculous. Is this real? And then he finds out that they have a ship in space right now on their way to figure out what these aliens are doing. And it's brilliant.
Wow.
And that's from Oni. So letter 44, highly recommend that one. That's kind of, you know, I like getting those rush, right? Like, I find, like, there's so many great ideas that can be pulled off in comics.
Yeah.
Because you don't need the budget of a major movie studio, you know? And they pull it off. And then Hollywood will look at these series in a couple years and say, hey, let's make a movie of this. But so far, it's good. We'll see how it turns out. But that's the kind of shit I like.
Sounds really interesting. You talked about the big budget movies. Do you enjoy the superhero movies?
Yeah, sure. Like, I thought Avengers was really good. Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man is, you couldn't ask for better casting. He's just done an amazing job of Iron Man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it wasn't really that popular before the films come out, if I'm right. I don't know. Maybe you can correct
me.
No.
No, I fully agree with you. Iron Man sucked. I mean, he didn't suck, but, and I'm reading Avengers comics forever, but there's like two good Iron Man stories prior to the Iron Man movies. I always liked Spider-Man, you know, there were so many characters I preferred over Iron Man. And I just, you know, looking back, there's a great run that Bob Layton did on Iron Man, but nothing really, you know, there wasn't really that much stuff. And the core of the character was always great and interesting, and that's what they got when they and Jon Favreau got it, and they figured out how to make it happen. And I was pleasantly surprised with that movie because I had very low expectations going into that, but definitely as an old school Marvel fan, it's kind of like, wow, they've really done a great job of making Iron Man cool. And and I mean, the character's done a complete reversal in the comics now. He's the characters in the comics really reflect the movie characters now. So
yeah,
for Iron Man, I think that's a good thing.
And comics are definitely on the rise. I mean, they have been for a few years now, but there was a barren spell, I guess, where comics were not so popular anymore, and comics were only really being made for adults in a way. How did you feel through that lean spell? Were you able to get your fix, or was it hard times?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because that's when I was working at the comic shop, and there were still a lot of great books coming out, but definitely most of them weren't from Marvel and DC. It was a lot of the smaller publishers and Fantagraphics, Drawn and Quarterly, like Slave Labor, Image, of course, Vertigo, which I guess is DC by extension. They had a lot of good stuff, but I think there were always good comics coming out. It was just the market really took a nosedive after the 90s, that early 90s collector craze, and where Marvel just put foil covers on everything and just kind of destroyed the industry because everybody went out and bought tons of copies of these comics because they had a special cover, but the content was terrible. So once the kids were bringing these comics home, you'd read them and say, hey, you know what? This comic fucking sucks. I don't want to read this, you know? Yeah. So they things really, you know, when all the Image guys jumped ship from Marvel didn't know what to do and just went into a spiral of putting out garbage for about 5 or 6 years, which led to their bankruptcy. And then they really, you know, they turned things around and managed to revive themselves. And there were still good creators there. I think like Mark Waid was there, and then Dan Slott came on, and you know, that's a whole other topic. I mean, the whole comics crash was crazy. Yeah. But definitely in the last, you know, in the last like 7 or 8 years, there's been a real revival. And, you know, graphic novels have been fully embraced now by popular culture. You've got the Walking Dead comics are just through the roof, and you know, TV shows are continuing, like you got Buffy continuing in comic form, and there's just tons and tons of great series that you can get in graphic novels at your local bookstore that, you know, prior to that you weren't able to to access. It's the whole like the manga idea of getting these big books at once instead of buying a single issue floppy book. But I mean, my shelves are just covered with graphic novels, and a lot of times of comics that I've got the issues of, and then I'm like, I gotta get the book and reread it. But
well, I tend to go
worked at comic shops, you get spoiled with that stuff. So
yeah, I tend to go for the graphic novels because I can't justify buying a load of comics every week.
Of course.
With the kids, but
I should really, really cut back.
It sounds like you have quite a problem, but you know that.
It's a good problem to have.
I've
started unloading some stuff in the last year or so just to make space, because I've got records too, man. Records and comics, I gotta trim them down.
And action figures.
Do you have the one where Word Burglar raps about comic books? No, I know that happens on a lot of them. No, but the one where it's just you. Oh, no. Okay. All right, maybe it's not out yet. Just get me Lady Death.
Yo, as a kid, my favorite comic was Nth Man, the Ultimate Ninja. You got every one of those in multiples, didn't ya? Yeah, and it took a while to collect them all. I got the last one I needed down at the shitty mall. Yes, yes, y'all. Like Lee Falk, that's real talk. And when I'm not reading them, keep them safe in a sealed box. Spidey, Booster Gold, and X-Men. Ninja Turtles, a Tick, and John Byrne's Next Man. Collecting milk and cheese wookies to strange adventures. For real geeks who can name Avengers like Triathlon, Tigra, Jack of Hearts, U.S. Agent, though he was always in the wackest arcs. You like Star Fox? That wouldn't bug me. Dude saw more pussy than Catwoman's undies, trust me. Like Hawkeye and Mockingbird, you could call me a nerd. I like my drawings with words, word.
Yes, I was wondering if you have the issue of Defenders where, the Hulk goes shopping for beans? Yes.
I was in the comic books and watching cartoons.
Irredeemable, incorruptible, invincible.
I was in the comic books and watching cartoons.
Justice League, Europe, and, the Invincibles.
I was in the comic books and watching cartoons.
Stray Toasters, Stilt Man, and Gravity.
I was in the comic books and watching cartoons.
Grimjack, Concrete, Avengers Academy.
I read comics and books.
Now my man Arlex put me on the scud. That kid's comic is made with blood. And Squadron Supreme had Grunwald's ashes in. Worth a lot, but I could never cash it in. That's dumber than kidnapping Jim Gordon. Wanna make money? Open a Tim Hortons. What can I say? I like art in books. From Steve McNiven's to Darwin Cook's. House of Ideas, distinguished competition. Back issues, I'll be digging on a mission. In the depths of the dollar and quarter bins. For rare singles that no one was ordering. And what you know about Wood God? Well, he's a man-brew life form who looks odd. And I gotta give props to the king, Jack Kirby. You wanna talk shop? Well, ask Herbie.
You have the one where Tigra's naked. I need it.
I was in the comic books and watching cartoons.
Stan Lee, Alan Moore, and Eric Larson.
I was in the comic books and watching cartoons.
Reed Fleming, Flaming Carrot, McFarlane.
I was in the comic books.
George Perez, Steve Ditko, Art Adams.
I was in the comic books and watching cartoons.
Yo, Casta is part robot, part madam.
I read comics and books, yeah, Marvel.
This is for the forward front facers, the true believers, who know Walking Dead don't need shoes or sneakers. You know I don't know how to end this, cause I could go on about comics forever like Bendis. Ryan Otley, what's up, man? Yo, J-Bone, I keep giving you money like a payphone. I gotta shout out all my people, Strange Adventures to the Silver Snail. You got a question, Bert, you'll know. I make Canadian jams like Bernie Moreau. Google it.
And if there's a house fire and you can grab one comic, one action figure, and one record, what are you going to grab? Yeah, should have given you that question in advance, really, shouldn't I?
I'd probably grab G.I. Joe 21, signed by Larry Hama, which is a definitive comic. It's the silent issue of G.I. Joe, and it was revolutionary when it came out in the 80s, not just because it was G.I. Joe comic that was popular, because just in comics in general, it's an entire silent issue, and that hadn't been done before. And that's the comic that also reveals that Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow have some kind of weird connection. and it's a brilliant comic, G.I. Joe 21. I'm sure you can track it down. People know it. So that would be my comic.
Yeah.
For my record, I got some rare stuff. I think I got to go Halifax, and it would be my Sebutone Def 12-inch, which is the group that Buck 65 and 6-2 were in. And that is, I don't think there's many of those out there. And either that or my Wildlife. No, probably I'd go Sebutone Def. I'd get the Sebutone Def 12-inch. And what was the other thing? Action figure?
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be a Joe for sure. Probably my Snake Eyes. I've got the original Snake Eyes.
Cool.
The original straight arm Snake Eyes. So that's what it'd be. I guess it wasn't that hard after all. I guess I can get rid of everything else.
Have a fire. Okay. Oh, man. Well, keeping it very comic book themed. Let's talk about your other side, your other persona. I hope I'm not spoiling it for anyone that hasn't figured it out, but you are also Grandpa Funny Books.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's the big reveal. I'm busting this
every one. Now and then people ask me. I know Grandpa Funny Book. I've known him for years, but he's
never seen in the same room.
he's a real special character. Yeah, man. Yeah.
How on earth did he come into being?
Oh, that started. I blame my friend Dave Howlett, who is a great comic book artist, and we used to work together at Strange Adventures, and he's one of my best friends in the world. And when we worked together, there used to be a really shitty double block of Marvel cartoons. It was like a Fantastic Four cartoon and an Iron Man cartoon back to back, and they were not great. But they were one of the few Marvel comic cartoons you could have, and we used to put that on at the shop when we were working. And each episode was introduced by Stan Lee, and I just started doing a Stan Lee impression, and this was in the 90s, and because it was like Stan Lee, and he was very, I don't know, and I love Stan Lee so much, and but these weren't the most flattering depictions of him. He was acting like he was very unnecessarily excited about things, I guess is the best way to put it. And get ready, you true believers, I've got just a swashbucklingly spectacular episode coming up today. You won't believe what happens when the Thing tries to go to the store. What? I'm sure he gets weird looks at the store. What else is then? So he just, and Stan Lee has this amazing way of selling you an idea that might not have been that good. He's a man who's got powers of a spider and Spider-Man. And I know now there's a million Stan Lee impressions, but Grandpa Funny Book basically grew out of me sort of doing Stan Lee impressions of him doing these bad cartoon introductions. And then it just evolved into Grandpa Funny Book just really being out there. So Grandpa Funny Book is basically like a contemporary of Stan Lee who may have indulged in a little bit more acid and was, just his special. He doesn't have superheroes. He has special characters, right? So they're special characters that the readers can really appreciate because they're special. So that's, that's Grandpa. We've done a bunch of videos, and there's he's just been a character I always kind of did, and it was more for just to entertain me and Dave and our friend Tina, who worked at the shop. And then we got the silly idea to start recording them, and then he just has always been around, and I love, stuff will happen. It's like there's an opportunity. Let's get Grandpa Funny Book. It just seems like the right place. And, you know, now he's hosting rapping song albums. I don't know. He's a crazy guy. Like, he really should have no business hosting a rap album, like a rap mixtape. He's the least likely candidate to do that. At the same time, rap and comics are they're very close, right? They're, you know, everyone's got code names and they're, you know, fantastic adventures and telling you tales. I don't know. There's going to be some. We got a lot of exciting Grandpa Funny Book stuff in the works right now. So
I'm glad to hear.
If you enjoy his craziness, I'm sure you'll be happy about what's coming up. So
I actually have aching jaws at the moment. I'm sorry. I'll compose myself. There have been three Grandpa Funny Books mixtapingly arranged rapping song albums. The second of which had the second of which had the longest, craziest title ever. Was it Dyadic Dynamite?
That's right.
My God, that was a nightmare to try and announce songs from that when I played them on the podcast. But
I think it's great. It's more fun. It gets funner to say the more you say it. Grandpa Funny Books mixtapingly arranged rapping song album 2, Dyadic Dynamite.
It just rolls off the tongue. Yeah, after about 1,000 attempts. But you put those mixtapes together and you sell them at a convention, is that right?
Yeah, we give them away. They're free. We give them away with purchases and
I've been duped.
Han Solo.
I've been paying for them.
Well, no, Han Solo puts them out. So if you don't buy something, they're very limited. So if you don't buy something, Tom, you know, sells them, and or we give them free with purchase.
Yeah.
So, you know, people come to the table. And it just started as like a cool way of, you know, us giving a little bonus for people who came to the convention, right? It's our convention exclusive. And they're very short runs. I'm not sure the exact amount that get made, but there's not a lot of them out there. They're all under 1,000 copies made.
Yeah.
And then of course there's the digital downloads that you can get. And it's just a fun way for us to incorporate, you know, the fandom and also give an emphasis to, you know, bring on a lot of nerdier acts that people, you know, we're trying to give more exposure to some of the geekier acts out there and stuff like that. And like dope acts who are, you know, who are more nerdily inclined and would suit that, you know, the idea of comics and sci-fi and all that fun stuff. So nerdcore, I believe, is the term that people use.
Yeah, nerdcore, probably the worst title for a genre there's ever been, because it's so so difficult to get someone to listen to it when you say this is nerdcore. But when you do get them to listen to it, then generally people go with it. And I've been trying to encourage work colleagues and friends for years to just give it a go. You know, don't be put off by the name of the genre, but the name does. It's not good.
I mean, people need to label stuff. Yeah, and yeah. I think I told you before, I didn't even know nerdcore existed, I think, until I went to Nerdapalooza.
Yeah.
So, and everyone's like, oh, you're a nerdcore rapper. I'm like, well, I'm a rapper. And you can call me whatever kind of rapper you want. Weirdo, alternative, backpacker, underground, Canadian rapper, nerdy rapper, whatever. Yeah. So if people, you know, and the nerdcore thing is like a happy accident. I mean, I met a lot of amazing people through that. And there's some incredible artists who are really, you know, really raising that nerdcore flag. And I think it's great. Like I'm just one that I just don't like labels in general. And I just, you know, just doing my thing. So I'm happy to be a part of the nerdcore community. And, you know, but if I introduce my album to someone, I say I'm a rapper.
Yeah.
I don't say I'm a nerdcore rapper.
Greetings, committed enthusiasts. By now, you've no doubt figured that the person who is talking is me. Your picture-loving, fashionably mustachioed Grandpa Funny Book. Yeah, I know I'm a world-famous creator of all your favorite special characters. And yeah, here we are, back with another mixtapingly arranged rapping song album. Okay, now you know me, right? I can't wait to tell you all about the incredible thoughts that I use my brain to have. But right now what is that? Oh, I got an itching for a scratching. Peter Project, that's your cue.
Smash of a lid in the ground. Left hook pound and determine all velocity. Yes, folks drown under urban animosity.
In the name of the moon, I'ma beat your ass. Lame suckers out on forks like grass. Pretty bitch gleams on a whole nother level. Here on lockdown, you got the blonde devil. Spit that fire, yes we do. You look tired, I would too. Wreck with my crew, there's no way you're gonna win. Cause your head getting chopped like you ain't believe.
Here we go, don't rock the boat. When we pop, gotta drop the flow. Sit down, listen up, us and all. We gon' get down, rip it up, got to go.
Darkness falls, but we bring the heat. Powered up, can't defeat my team. Try.
You've got the appearance at the Orlando Nerd Fest coming up. What else can we expect from Word Burglar in the forthcoming year and beyond?
Ah, it's funny you say fourth, because I was going to say fourth burglar.
Ah.
But technically, I mean, yeah, because technically Cobra Island is the fifth album.
Yeah.
So third burglar was including my original album, Burglaritis, and third burglar. And then there's Burgie's Basement. Mm-hmm. And then Cobra Island would be the fifth. So my next album I'm working on right now. So you're going to, you know, if all goes well, we should hear, you know, something from that at least
Very excited.
In 2014.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff. I just finished a song yesterday for Timbuktu's record. Mm-hmm. So Tim has a new album dropping very, very soon. I think he's hoping to get that out in March.
Cool.
I believe. And there's the Backburner 2 album is very, very close. I think we're hoping to have that out by summer at the latest is the current thing. There's still a bunch of stuff that needs to be finished for it, but there's a lot done. And that record's, I don't know, it's right now my iPod, that's my favorite shit. I've got about 9 tracks from Backburner 2 on my iPod. I was listening to it today and I was like, yeah, this is a pretty good rap record.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to that. So,
I mean, Heatwave sort of came out around winter time. is this summer release?
No, we put it out in the, we put the album out in the summer, but I think the video didn't get finished until we didn't release it till the winter. We were trying to hold off to the summer, and then we just thought, nah, it's too cold. Let's warm up now.
Fair enough. I was hoping for maybe the opposite. Yeah, we'd have a summer release and a winter video, perhaps. Will you? you know, we'll see. You
never know.
And
I want to call the next album Polar Vortex, because that's what we're experiencing right now. It's fucking cold here, man. It's freezing.
We're having a surprisingly mild winter. It's not too bad.
Really? Oh, yeah, you guys got all our heat. It's freezing. We have minus 30 over here. It's crazy.
Jeez. Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's Canada.
You will live in Canada, exactly, yeah.
So we stay in and read comics and make rap songs.
Yeah.
And drink.
And there was an attempt to get you over to the UK last year, which fell through, unfortunately. Any tours, any gigs, any foreign expeditions lined up?
Yeah, I was really sad that didn't happen, actually. I was pretty bummed out about that.
It is what it
is. I hope nothing is planned right now, but what usually happens with me is people get in touch with me and ask me if I want to come out and do a show, and if everything can align right, I'll come out and do it. So if someone in London wants to bring me out and we can make it happen, I'll be there. So I'm not against going anywhere. I would love to. I mean, if I had my private Quinjet, I'd be flying all over the place doing shows.
Maybe you could borrow Grandpa Funny Books. He must have one.
Yeah, I should. I should call him up and ask him, you know, see what he's doing tonight. We're supposed to go to the pub later anyway. So
good stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, no plans for the UK right now. The thing about touring is if I go on the road, I mean, that always takes away from time working on the album, too. So I've had a productive January so far, so I'm hoping to just keep things going and just work on new music right now. I did a lot of touring last year and yeah.
Cool.
Just keeping busy. So yeah, we'll see. It's not out of the cards, but nothing's planned for a UK trip yet. But,
okay, I'm going to get working on
you
that.
You know, you guys should get a little festival going over there, you know, get something happening.
Yeah, nerdcore and the like are not as big over here, but you know, guys like MC Lars come and tour every year. You know, Front a Lot comes, you know, every other year maybe, and you know, Random was here last year, and so yeah, it's going okay. We get a few gigs to see. It'd be nice to get it going a bit more, you know, get people more familiar with them, and then maybe something could happen. But yeah,
well, when I think UK hip hop, and it's funny because when we lined up this podcast, I thought, I got to dig up one of my favorite records, and Roots Manuva.
Oh, okay.
I love Roots Manuva, Brand New Secondhand. That album I wore into the ground. I love that record. And I couldn't find it. And I found it this afternoon.
Oh, cool.
Because I was like, I'm going to find that record. So I went through, I was just going through boxes and I found it and I didn't even have it ripped on my computer. And I'm really looking forward to listening to that tonight. But yeah, Roots Manuva, man. I mean, I don't know what he's up to now. I haven't heard much from him in a while. I'm sure he's still doing stuff. But when I think UK hip hop, that's the name that always comes to mind, because I always found him just a great – I loved his style. I thought it was very unique. He had a great voice, great flow. He always rapped on – like, I loved his choice of beats.
Mm.
And, yeah.
Cool.
So –
okay.
I don't know. Geez, if he's around, I'd love to do a tour with him.
I'll get on the phone. I'll see what. Yeah, we all know each other.
Yeah, if you see him, if you bump into him, you know.
Sure.
When you're getting your crisps.
Cool. Where can people find you on the internet if they want to check out your tunes, follow you on Twitter and Facebook and everything?
Wordburglar.com. And all the links are on there. And it's Wordburglar with an A. That's how you spell burglar. People spell it wrong all the time. I always tell people I've seen it spelled wrong. Word bugler is one. It's really weird. The word bugerlar, world burglar, wood burglar. I've seen it all, man. It's weird. I don't know why. It tricks people. They can't spell it.
Crazy. Well, sir, it's been an absolute privilege having you on the show. It's one I was really looking forward to, and I'm glad that you know it's turned out as well as it has. I've really, really enjoyed talking to you. I am still smiling.
Oh, good, man. Me too. I'm having a great time. I hope. I'm glad it worked out.
And all good
anytime,
things.
Anytime. I'm sorry it took so long to make it happen.
Not at all. Well worth the wait. And thank you very much. And yeah, absolutely would love to have you back on. Maybe when the back burner stuff drops, we'll get a few of the guys on. That would be nice. And find out what's went on behind the scenes and what we can look forward to from all the other guys in the collective as well.
For sure.
But until next time, thank you very much for joining me. It's been a privilege. It's been an honor. And one of my favorite shows to date, so thank you.
Beautiful, man. Peace.
It is all real. True story. Check it. Yeah. Huh. Yep. Yeah, I remember when I got the call. You talk the talk, but can you walk the walk, block by block? Pound the pavement day by day and get up real early on Saturday. There's no fatter way to make some cash. I wore that bag like a badge. Bruises on my shoulder, newsprint on my fingers. The pain lingers. I wash it down with strawberry milk. The kids say he's very ill and crazy. Ladies crazy on the daily, but I won't let the fear derail me. Feet don't fail me. The elevator's out of service. Younger kids got nervous, but I had a purpose. For all the strangers deliver their papers despite the dangers. On your front step. Special delivery on your front step. Special delivery on your front step. Risking my life to bring you the news. Special delivery on your front step. Special delivery on your front step. Special delivery on your front step. Risking my life. Bring you
now,
the news.
Most of the hallways were dirty looking. You could always smell what apartment 30 was cooking. No lie, the route was hard, but it was worth it. When you got those Christmas cards, average pay period, I made about $2. When you're a kid, that feels like $2 mil. I spent the cash on comics, ball caps, and tape, records, video games, make no mistake. I never smoked no cigarettes. How the heck you think I could afford my action figure sets? Not to mention the staircases had to climb. Walkman pumping rap to my mind. A fat mixtape would get me through the rainy days from slush to dew. I never knew who would be around the next bend. Drunks in the stairwell at 7 a.m. And I'll never forget the time the police questioned me about a crime committed by the guy in number 5. It sucks. He still owes me $20.
Special delivery on your front step. Special delivery on your front step. Special delivery on your front step.
Risking my life to bring you the news.
Special delivery on your front step. Special delivery on your front step. Special delivery on your front step.
Risking my life to bring you
brave
the news.
Brave it up to the fifth floor. Apartment 54. Take a breath. Knock on the door. Dogs barking. Cats scratching. When your cash asking, I had to build up a fat skin. Collection time always brought excuses like, can you come back next Tuesday? I heard him say he didn't want to pay for the paper. Through the vapors, I saw them burn the hash. Me 13, only trying to earn some cash. Had to dash through the whole complex the day they were worried about bomb threats. And that hot summer middle of July, when the tenant in 202 died, nobody found the body for a week. Let's just say the smell was unique. Didn't know till I saw the coroner van on the street.
and the tag on their feet, and the tag on their feet. Risking my life to bring you the news.
Special delivery on your front step. Special delivery on your front step. Special delivery on your front step.
Risking my life to bring you the news.
Hello, bonjour.
Bonjour, monsieur. How are you?
Hey, man. What's happening?
I'm very well, thanks. You?
I'm good. I'm good. Can you hear me okay? I'm just I'm trying out a new mic here.
You know what? You're coming through better than anyone that's ever been on this show before.
Yeah, I know.